Colin Cullis with Business Unusual tonight. What's wrong with the modern business workplace? Would you rather go and work at the mill from dawn till dusk, 365 days a year, Colin? What's up?
Well, I think I can say fairly that no businesses plan big office spaces or lots of stuff. They don't want that. They want customers. Or more importantly, they want customers to buy their products and services. It's as a consequence of the customers buying those products and services that they're compelled to go and hire people to meet the demand, and then they've got to stick them somewhere. And that, for the most part, has been the sort of situation. So a little aside from me there, a lot of people say, but you know, small businesses create jobs, or government create jobs, or big businesses create jobs. Customers create jobs. We mustn't forget that. So my reason for having a look at office spaces is there is one company in particular which is on a crazy roller coaster of a ride that's due to list later this year at an incredible valuation of over $40 billion, unlike anything else in its field, called WeWork, or these days, the We Company. And their whole objective, from their founding in the original one, 2008, that peak disruption period, as I like to describe it, but this particular version or incarnation of it in 2010, has been doing quite well. And the question is this just an over-elaborate office rental company, or are they actually disrupting office rentals for the future, for a new kind of employee and staff and places we actually want to work? So traditionally, just going back a little bit, the office space was typically clerical work. So you'd have your manufacturing, your mill, or workshops. That's where you typically do your work. And then you need to do all the back-end stuff, the clerical stuff needed in office. And they were typically laid out like classrooms. People just sat in these rows and rows of desks, you know, writing numbers, doing ledgers and accounts, etc. And then somebody very nicely came along with the idea of trying to give everybody some of their own space. And you might remember the conversation we had between the open offices versus private offices versus remote working, etc. Well, that plan over there was to create little spaces that everybody could work in. Unfortunately, because big business works a bit like this sometimes, that was corrupted and turned into cubicles, horrible, soul-destroying places that people go to sit and quietly reevaluate their lives. And then when computers came along, well, more disruption, because you didn't even need the staff, and so less space and people were needed. And that kind of gets us to where we are now. Big companies typically were responsible for innovation in the past, but with what computers allowed us to do, and then new sort of ways of approaching businesses, and most of them being computer-based, startups became the new place for it, certainly the sort of Silicon Valley-based startups. And people didn't want to actually hire big offices. They would work on their own. They'd make use of coffee shops, etc. But there was a thing missing, and that is they needed to have some collaboration. And so this co-working space became a bit of a thing from the mid-2000s, people coming together to work on best practices, or simply just talk to other people who might help them with the problem they're having. And this is where the two founders come in. One was an architect. The other was sort of a serial, well, I wouldn't say a serial entrepreneur. He was actually a trained military officer, but was working on a startup. And they were both working in a building that had a lot of empty space in it. But they both also had a sort of a sense of wanting to create something communal. Everything about WeWork stuff talks about community, possibly more than they need to. But nevertheless, it's a noble sort of gesture. So the two of them come together. They create an initial startup called Green Desk. It works. Landlords are loving the fact that somebody's going to turn their otherwise empty office space into something that people, smaller businesses, freelancers, etc., would be prepared to pay to use. They then sell that company and start WeWork in 2010. And just a little jump forward to where we are now and why it's sort of 50-50 for them. They have received bucket loads of investment over the last decade. And in return for that, they have spent bucket loads of money. They're spending about $1 billion a year.
And that's the concern. I mean, WeWork is about to launch in South Africa and people are very excited about it. But, you know, they're planning a listing, and there's even threats of the listing not going ahead now, simply because the business model may not be optimal, I think is the polite way of putting it.
And I think people are right to say so, because their largest competitors, Regis, most people, and they'll know they operate here in South Africa. They operate in 120 companies, many more than even WeWork does. They've got more offices and they make a profit. Yet they are valued at a fraction, 1/10 of what WeWork is. So it's very unlikely that WeWork's business model they've used to date is likely to translate as an IPO, because for most people, WeWork, well, they're just an office rental company with a little bit of benefits. But I do think there's something in the idea of how WeWork works that is worthy of us focusing on and looking at disruption. And a lot of it does have to do with kind of the shift in the employees we now have. Millennials are pretty much 20 years and upwards now. There's an understanding or an acceptance for the way people work. It's a lot more collaborative. You don't have the clerical thing. You don't have administrative sort of rote kind of work that people are engaged in doing. It's a lot more creative, problem-solving type stuff. And that often is best done when you can access other people when you need them to help solve those problems without having to have a sort of a fixed structure. And one of the things is the way that they've set up their offices. A regular office rental company will say, here is a space. And you say, great, I'll take it, generally for a longer term lease. And then you furnish it and set it up as you wish. And you use it for the period that you have it. For a small startup company, and particularly ones that may be anticipating rapid growth, if you're locked into a long-term lease, potentially with a relatively small space, and you outgrow it, well, you're going to have to get yourself out of the lease and then find new premises and then refurbishing. This is not so great. Whereas WeWork offers the opportunity for you to take over a space and then expand into as much of it as you want and expand into other locations if you need to, while still maintaining a relatively low lease. The cost for that is a premium on a membership, as they describe what the access is, but that is kind of worth it, because if you happen to have a failure or you need to scale down, well, you can pretty much end it after a couple of months rather than many, many years. So in that regard, that's already a good first step, and their competitors are starting to copy that, and I think this will become something more prevalent in the future. The second element, because they actually create their spaces, and if you go online, I've left a video for what it looks like at WeWork offices. It looks like something you'd imagine a Google or an Apple to create. It's very nicely appointed with all the mod cons, lots of nice couches and beautiful plants, you know, paintings on the wall, all that sort of stuff, rather than there's your whiteboard, there's a desk, good luck. And I think that is another bit that's going to be very useful, because people don't want to work in sort of these very clean, sanitized sort of space. They are looking for something that feels a little more welcoming. Then on top of that, and this is where the service element comes in, they take care of the Wi-Fi, so you don't have to go and work your own stuff. They take care of the office machines, so if you need copiers, they're there, printers, shredders, whatever you might need for that sort of stuff, it's taken care of. And they even supply food, depending on the buildings that they set up and the packages you take. There'll be coffee and drinks and food and everything else. Exactly. And I tell you what, Bruce, for somebody in your sort of line of work, where you move around a lot and you're looking for a space, you might need to do some meetings, you might need to chat with somebody, but sometimes you just want peace and quiet. Just get everybody away from me. Then this could be the options, because the way they slice up their offices, and I found this quite intriguing, a third of the spaces in the office blocks that they create are communal, but only 10% is open, which means they actually make more space available for people either to collaborate in private or to work in private than these big open plan sort of desks all over the show.
So the office of the modern world is more like the office of days of old, really.
Yes, and in part they're saying we need the time, and I don't know if you've heard this term, for flow. It's the notion that when somebody is trying to focus on a problem, they need a little while to sort of kick around the problem until they can get their mind shifted to understand either the code they're working on or the scale or scope of the problem, and then things start coming together and they can start working through it. If you were working, trying to solve some difficult problem, financial, whatever it happens to be, and the phone keeps ringing, or people keep wandering into your office, or you're just in a very noisy environment, the odds of you getting into that state seems less than likely. And I don't know if that's a new thing about how humans just operate, or it's the way we've always operated, or we don't operate that way at all, and this is just something people are telling us, that I'm not sure about. But it does seem to resonate with a lot of people who do prefer just to have a bit of peace and quiet, often these days simplified by them sticking headphones on their heads, to concentrate on what it is they're doing, to get rid of the distractions. And so in that regard, it's a pretty good step forward than regular office spaces. And this is another part where were very clever with what they're doing. Currently, they're attracting sort of freelancers and small business startups. That's not the best market to want to get, because if there's ever a downturn, and I did hear you chatting about the inverted bond yield curve, suggesting there could be trouble on the way, well, then these are the first guys who are going to say, I'm out.
That's the trouble. Colin, I've got Wendy Nola staring at me, and she's giving me, you know that beady eyeball she gives?
Yes.
She's giving me that beady eyeball.
Well, then I will say that there is some value in this, albeit that I think the IPO is likely to be postponed or not going to be very successful, coming at half the price maybe, but there's a lot more useful stuff to see what these guys are doing. Somebody will definitely be copying what they're trying to do, and that will be a great thing for the future. It's all online.
Thank you, Colin Cullis.